So good job, man. Yeah. So praise the Lord. Next generation. Or for some of us, it's two generations. Oh, boy. But that's a whole different subject. Philippians chapter 4. That's the wrong one there, Colleen. That's last Sunday. So, you'll get it up. Okay. I don't want to do that one again. I already did it. All right. While she's trying to fix that, she'll be able to do so. Look at verses 8 and 9. Philippians 4, verses 8 and 9. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the Lord of peace will be with you. Amen. Let's pray. Father, now as we turn to your word, we always do with the expectation that you will have a word for us, that you will teach us, you will guide us. There's something in your word that each one of us will take with us on this day for our betterment, for your glory. For Father, you delight to see your people grow in their faith. And this morning, Lord, we will talk about something we often don't talk about, growing in our faith in the way that we think. And so, Father, open up our eyes to understand your word, to receive it, to enjoy it, and to be made better by it. And I ask you to do that in Jesus' name. Amen. Researchers at the Laboratory of Neuroimaging at the University of Southern California were able, I don't know how, but they were able to count the thoughts going through the average human brain, to number them. And they discovered that your brain is a 3-pound computer that processes 70,000 thoughts each day. Let that sink in. And you thought AI was impressive. Extend that out for a week, and the average brain processes 500,000 thoughts per week. And since tomorrow's June 1st, I want you to know that in the month of May, you've processed 2.5 million thoughts in this wonderful mind that God created and given to you. Kind of blows your mind that you think that much, doesn't it? The challenge we have as followers of Jesus is disciplining our minds to think in a way that is pleasing to our Lord. Romans 12:2 says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind." And I put up here the New Living Translation that just helps as a commentary. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way that you think. Now, why is all of this even important? After all, my thoughts are my own business. Nobody else knows my thoughts but me. So, who cares? God does. In fact, he knows your thoughts. Listen to these scriptures. Psalm 94:11. The Lord knows the thoughts of man. God declared in Isaiah 66:18, for I know their works and their thoughts, and the time is coming to gather all nations and tongues. Psalm 139, verse 2, you know when I sit down and when I rise up, you discern my thoughts from afar. So how in the world does God do that? Well, the answer, which doesn't help you much, he's God. That's how. He designed us, he created us, and he designed us in such a way that when we think, he is able to know, he is able to discern. Let me try to illustrate this in a practical way. You won't forget this, even if you forget everything else. Except for me talking in this room and a few people coughing or sneezing, it's quiet. You don't hear a thing. And yet, this room is full of noise that you can't discern. In fact, the sound waves of 25 radio stations are filling this room right now. If I reach down and pick up this little fancy device that is actually an antique, but that's beside the point. For all of you younger people, this is a transistor radio. And in 1968, I took this radio to college with me, and it still kind of works. But if I turn it on...
See, in other parts of society...
Whoop. Come on. Don't know what that is, but I can go keep going like that. And I'm going to turn it off before somebody says something I don't want to hear. Now, the question is, why can't you hear all that? This room is full of 25, at least, AM, FM stations with their radio waves filling this room with the sound, but you can't hear a thing. Why? Because you don't have the stuff in you that is in that little radio. And by the way, you're mighty glad you don't, or you'd be going nuts by now. But I use that as an illustration. Our God is the omnipotent, almighty, sovereign creator. And he has an ability that you and I don't have because he's God. I can't hear your thoughts. You can't hear my thoughts. But the God that we serve can hear our thoughts. And to make it even more amazing, he can hear the 70,000 thoughts that you and I all have at the same time and not be confused by them. That makes him an incredibly amazing God. And I find that amazing, and I find it humbling, and I find it sobering at the same time. Why? Because I know some of the thoughts that I have. And I'm ashamed that my Heavenly Father has to listen to those coming from me. Fortunately, he knows me and he forgives me. But furthermore, he gives me resources to help us think so that our life will honor him in the way that we think. And these two verses are two of the primary ones. So, let's begin. First of all, two lists. Point number one, line today. Two lists. Verse 8 and verse 9 both contain a short list. They're short enough so that you can memorize them, long enough to cover a lot of ideas. Now, let's begin with verse 8. How might I characterize this list? It's a list describing the character of a spiritually healthy thought life. Let me say that again. It's a list describing the character of a spiritually healthy thought life. Now understand, this list is meaningless if it has no ability to make a difference in your life. This list has no function whatsoever if it cannot influence the way that you and I think. If you won't allow the scriptures to influence your mind, this verse has no relevance. But you can, and I can. And you should, and I should. And you must, and I must. For the list is followed by an imperative, a command. God Almighty expects me and expects you to work on this. Now, the list in verse 8 contains six adjectives and two nouns that give us a comprehensive description of what we're to think on. Start with the word true. We're to think on those things that have the character of perfect truth. Of course, Jesus told us where we can find perfect truth. He prayed, Father, your word is truth. Guide them into all truth. Now, why should we focus on truth? Because what you think about and what you meditate on will impact how you live. In the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve made the choice to meditate on a lie and ignore the clear truth that God had given to them. Their thought led to action, and the results have been disastrous for mankind. Proverbs 23, verse 7, for as he thinks within himself, so he is. So think on things that are true. Next, on things that are noble or honorable, worthy of reverence with God. And then think on things that are just or righteous would be a better interpretation of that verse. Think on things when you align them with God's perfect righteous standard, they are righteous, they are just. And then think those thoughts whose characteristic is absolute purity, has the character of what is pure, not purity by the world's standard, purity by God's standard. Next, thoughts that are lovely. And the idea in that word is captured in two words, being generous and being gracious. And then commendable, things to which your God would respond, well done, well done. Now that's quite a list, is it not? Quite a challenge, is it not? And just in case there may be some adjectives that Paul forgot, he closes with two nouns and says, any others that are excellent are praiseworthy. Think on those things. Now, I think that you and I understand that left to ourselves, our mind left to itself, without any influence from the Word of God, our minds will violate every one of those words left to themselves. Our minds allowed to wander and roam will major on what is false, what is impure, what is unrighteous, what is dishonorable, what is hateful, what is selfish, what is self-serving, even what is irrational. You know, even as Christians, as followers of Jesus, we're prone to false thoughts. We try to convince ourselves But even though the Bible says God knows my thoughts, he really can't. Because he's like us. Bad thought. No, he's not. In fact, you remember, he said in Isaiah, my thoughts aren't anything like yours. My ways are nothing like yours. I'm God, you're not. In fact, he warned through another prophet, you thought I was altogether like you. Wrong. We try to convince ourselves of that. We try to convince ourselves that he's too busy with more important stuff. He's got to solve the war in Iran. He can't worry about Dave Dreyer's thoughts. Corrective. If he wasn't too busy to die on the cross for you and pay sin's penalty for you, he won't be too busy to pay full attention to your life. And you might ask, all right, Pastor Dave, what do I do with that list? First of all, you memorize it. You can do that. Secondly, you repeat it to yourself every day, maybe several times during the day. Thirdly, you immediately call it up when you find your mouth, find your mind and your mouth going in a direction it shouldn't go. All right? There's 8 words you can memorize. Start with those 8 words. And then after you get the 8 words, you just fill in the whatever is, whatever is, whatever it is. You can memorize 8 words. Will that mean you'll be perfect? No. But it does mean that you're beginning to realize that how you think and what you think about is far more important than you may have realized. And you're willing to do battle with your thoughts. The second list in verse 9 is simply a wake-up call telling us that people are watching our lives. Paul invited it. He said, what you have learned and received and heard and seen in me. Four verbs there. You've watched my life. You've heard my words. You've listened to my teaching. You've observed me as I too battled the thoughts in my mind when you were with me. But that's not only true of Paul, it's also true of you and me. People are watching my life. People are watching your life. You should know that if you declare that Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior, you are inviting people to watch how you do life, to see if your life shows to others that following Jesus is worth it. So we have 2 lists here. One is the standard for a healthy spiritual thought life. List 2, telling us to live a life that reveals that spiritual healthy thought life, knowing that the world is watching. Call yourself a Christian, think like one. Call yourself a follower like Jesus, strive to think like he did. So what do we do with those 2 lists? That's followed with 2 commands. Number 2, 2 commands. Again, let's go back to our passage, verse 8. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you all. Obviously, the 2 imperatives, the 2 commands are easy to spot. Both of them are present tense commands, which comes with it, the idea of continually do this. And they're plural, which means they're for everybody. He said, if we were down south, all y'all do this. All right? The first commandment, verse 8, think about. It's actually a word that's much more powerful than it sounds. It means to calculate, to consider, to evaluate, to reflect on as a matter of highest importance, to meditate on. This isn't just a passing thought. It's giving deep and continuous and life-changing thought to these things, to this list, Paul says. In other words, it's coming to the place where you realize that how you think is important to God and to you. How you think will impact everything you do and become. Therefore, think on the characteristics of a spiritually healthy thought life, and think on the practical application of these characteristics in your own life. You see, it's not just studying theory. It's figuring out personal application. How do I battle hateful thoughts? How do I battle vengeful thoughts? How do I battle lustful thoughts? How do I battle envious thoughts? How do I battle thoughts of discontent and jealousy? How do I battle thoughts of worry? Man, this gets as practical concerning our minds as you can get. Practical in everyday life. How do I run my thoughts through this list? Verse 8, a list reminding me of the character of godly thoughts. Well, it begins by saturating your mind with the Word of God. Saturate your mind with the Word of God. Psalm 119, verse 9. How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. And by the way, you can put in there young woman, old man, old woman. It applies to all of us. How can we keep our way pure? By guarding it according to the word. Verse 11, I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Eugene Peterson translates that last verse, I have stored up your word in the vault of my mind. That's what it means. To combat thoughts that are contrary to what God wants for you, you have to have the right ammunition. And the right ammunition is the Word of God. Now, you might argue with me. Some of you might argue with me. I'm too old to memorize the Scriptures. Says who? It might be harder than it was when you were younger, but it can be done. How do I know that? Because you've memorized the channel set up on your TV, and you memorized the time and the date when all your favorite shows show up. You've memorized the standings of your favorite team so you can argue about them at work. Listen, we don't memorize the Scriptures because we choose not to. It's a lie of the devil that says you can't. So the first imperative, think about this. Think on it. How are you going to think on it? You're going to memorize it. The second imperative, practice, verse 9. Literally, habitually practice. Repeatedly practice. Put into practice the habit of influencing how you think. Put into practice the habit of immediately interrupting a thought that is wrongful or sinful. Putting into practice applying immediately the Scripture that you memorized, saying, no, I won't go there. If it's true, if it's honorable, if it's just, if it's pure, if it's lovely, if it's commendable, no, it violates those. I will not think, Lord, help me. It's putting into practice such sensitivity to wrong thoughts that you immediately call on the word and cry out to your Lord. Help me, Jesus. Help me remember the word. You know, I remember teachers and coaches who loved the phrase, practice, practice, practice. I hated it, but I remember it. And I remember what I considered the drudgery of practice, practice, practice. I can remember years ago running 10 miles a day just to prepare for a shorter race and thinking, what a waste of time. I can remember practicing the piano when all of my buddies were outside the window playing baseball. And I didn't like practice, practice, practice. But what I learned over time was that it was practice that develops talent and abilities. You know, our church musicians here did not decide one day, I think I'll play Bach, I think I'll play Chopin, and then sit down and do it. No. Our musicians started by playing the C scale 36 times a day, all the way up and all the way down, all the way up and all the way down. Isn't that right, Becky? All the way up and all the way down. And any of you who have ever taken an instrument, that's what you did. And then you found out there's another scale besides C. And you found out there's a lot of them. And you practiced and practiced and practiced. Listen carefully. The battle for your thought life will be a lifelong battle. It will not be won overnight. Perfection will come 1 second after you die. But until then, it's a battle, which is why we commit to memory the things that we need today and tomorrow for the battle. Finally, one promise, one promise. Again, verse 9, what you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Now, that's a very interesting promise. It's very much like the same promise we saw last week. Look back, or several weeks ago, I guess. It wasn't last week. Let's see here. I'm just looking. Yeah, it was last week. I'm sorry. I got the wrong chapter in my notes. Verse 6. Look back to verse 6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. We learned last week, when we battle worry, we pray. And in response to our prayer, the promise, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds. Today was the battle of our thought life, putting into practice using the Word of God and the promises, and the God of peace will be with you. So, two different weeks, the peace of God and the God of peace. Peace of God guarding your minds, the God of peace helping you win the battle for your thoughts. Last week, we talked about the absolute omnipresence of our God. Today, we are reminded again that he's absolutely available when we need him most. Now, we've called this the battle with our minds, the battle with our thought lives. And what most is needed when there's a battle is peace. Interesting, isn't it? And as we use the Word of God as our weapon, the God of peace comes near and strengthens and encourages us with the peace of God. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that wonderful? When we think for some reason we're alone, it's only due to unbelief. Jesus said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. You either believe him or you don't. Either Jesus was pulling our leg, or it's true. A verse that you memorized as a child. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because thou art with me. And maybe if you're a little younger, you didn't say thou. You said you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Still true. So in this battle in our mind, in this battle to think as God would have me and you to think, we have the Word of God to come to our aid, and we have the presence of God to strengthen us. So what I need to do the most, and what you need to do the most, is simply trust God that His Word is true and His presence is near. And what you and I need to do is to simply obey God's Word, believing God knows every thought, so that I can delight and practice to battle until my mind is set on Jesus the most. A verse that many of you may have memorized, you'll recognize, I close with. Isaiah 26, verse 3. You, God, you keep in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Great verse. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Your word was very practical today. We often don't think about thinking. We often don't think that our thoughts matter. We certainly don't think that we don't give any thought to the fact that you hear everyone. Sobering to us, Lord. But it also should give us a desire to take your word, to memorize it, to apply it, to memorize Philippians 4:8, that wonderful list, 8 words. Lord, we can memorize that. To commit it to memory. And Lord, when our thoughts go astray, to bring it right back up. So Father, help us to do that. Help us to be obedient followers of Jesus. Help us to think thoughts that are pure and true and just and righteous and honorable, lovely, commendable, excellent, praiseworthy. Oh, Father, help us to think that way. And as we looked at that final verse, to have a mind that is stayed on you. Thinking about our God, delighting in our God, worshiping our God, praying to our God, praising our God, but every moment aware that my God is with me every moment of every single day. Help us, Lord, to take that and live in a way that pleases you. In Jesus' name, amen.